From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and well, alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing with bright sunshiny colors underneath it.
Oh,
the forever heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going there tonight?
Oh, it's going
good. Oh, hi there, Bob. Oh, hello there, Bob. Oh, whatever you want to say.
Remember, Count, I'll
copyright,
take,
I know.
Take you to court.
I know, I'll copyright. But yes, Bob, it's good to be back here. Another episode of Bob After Dark, of course, and happy to be here. Boy, are my arms tired from flying in here, so dude, happy to be here.
You know, that joke might be as old as you are, Count.
I think so, possibly there, but still, regardless, good to be here.
Count, let's get your weekend update.
Yeah, you know what? I know last week I came on the show and I had a very eventful weekend, the previous weekend, with all the hoopla of Indiana Beach going down here. But this past weekend, not so much the case. Pretty low-key when it came down to it. So, again, we are in that weird time of the year 2020 where everything is canceled. And sadly, you know, all the summer events were pretty much done for. And we're seeing now, Bob, I mean, the peak season for Bob After Dark coming up here, and a lot of stuff getting canceled as well. But hey, you know what? At the end of the day, we make our own fun here, don't we, on Bob After Dark?
Oh, we make our own fun, all right, Count Panic, absolutely.
And, you know, with the lack of, you know, there's a lack of cons and a lack of events going on. I'm sorry
man,
to bring it up
really
here.
You just really like to stick that knife in me in turn, don't you?
I'm sorry to bring it up here, but, you know, can people still get you for public appearances if they pay a fee? How's that going to work?
I don't know. There's not a whole lot.
I gotta start looking into that. I'll be booking you here soon enough, Bob.
You could book. Oh, is that a subtle hint for something?
Booking?
Yeah.
Why, you're not booked?
I'm not booked for anything.
No,
everything has been canceled.
Yeah.
You know, my last convention just reached out to me for the year. DaishoCon in Wisconsin. They reached out to me and said, "Hey, we're canceled."
So they were the last one. But you probably figured that already.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a surprise to me by any means that the show was canceled. I mean, I completely understand it. I get it. I'm not mad about it. It is what it is. But it's okay.
Still stings a little bit every time you hear something gets canceled.
Yeah, no. You prepare for it. You know it's happening. But, you know, it's just definitely it's definitely a thing. But it's okay.
We're making it, Bob. We're surviving here.
We are definitely surviving, Count. And I... it is what it is.
That's the new slogan for Bob After Dark. It is what it is.
it's definitely a slogan.
After
there,
every
Count.
Show. The show was all right. It is what it is.
It is entirely exactly what it is, my dear friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you do anything fun this weekend?
No, nothing at all. Zero fun whatsoever, Bob. Just sat and looked at the wall basically all weekend.
You know, I did the day job thing. I saw some hearses on Saturday.
Did you buy one?
I did not.
Were they for sale at the
beginning? No, it was just people had hearses out, and James from Peoria drove his hearse up so we can go see that. And social distancing, like parking lot kind of a thing. They had some vendors. And
well,
stuff.
The hearse is longer than 6 feet, right? So
yes, absolutely.
If you put a few together, that's,
you know, my
social distancing.
The plan
good.
Was to go and buy a hearse from the hearse show, but they didn't have any for sale, so. Back on the hunt, never stop hunting for that.
You're in the market for a hearse then.
I've always been in the market for a hearse. But now that I got to ride in James's for a little bit, I'm like, I want a hearse now.
You
want to
get one? Yeah, you should get one. What's the price range for the one you want?
Oh, hearses range in the thousands there, Count. So
yeah.
We'll just put it to the Bob After Dark account. Write it off as a business expense.
Do we? Yeah, charity. Or we could do charity with it.
Something like that.
Yeah. There's, you know, you look online sometimes, and there are, like, on the
they're for sale.
The marketplace.
You just got to find what you're looking for.
Trustworthy people, though, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And other than that, I spent the weekend just kind of anticipating my show because that's the only thing I have these days. It's like, well, I do this.
Yeah, sure. It's the highlight of your week.
Let's not listen.
All our weeks, I think we could say that.
Exactly. Yeah. So a couple quick announcements for Bob After Dark.
Sure.
Which I didn't think we'd have announcements.
We have announcements.
We have announcements.
Okay.
Nothing super big, but definitely announcements nonetheless.
Okay.
Announcement one.
Yeah.
Next week on Bob After Dark, we have something really cool and special happening.
We do.
We are
just formed about a half hour ago.
Yeah, well, it was just confirmed.
Yeah.
It was in the works.
Yeah.
We have paranormal local historian, local paranormal aficionado.
Enthusiast. Yeah, I would say
Chuck,
an enthusiast.
And one of your co-hosts from one of the midday shows.
Yeah, of course, no fans of the station that listen to all the programming on WJLB know the name Chuck Pullen. And for the first time ever, Chuck will be
Chuck will be joining the show here. Yep, Chuck will be joining us via Zoom. And as an added bonus, the king of Northwest Indiana Paranormal, Pete Greist from Northwest Indiana Paranormal, will be joining us. Pete's called into the show, I think, maybe once or twice. We've mentioned him before, and we were going to set Pete up for a couple interviews to have him on and help co-host a couple episodes, but
COVID hit.
So yeah. Pete's going to come on next week, and we're going to talk about the specifically Northwest Indiana paranormal and haunted stuff.
Perfect. So that's like a roundtable discussion.
That is definitely
Pete, Chuck, you, me. I mean, that's one episode, Bob. That seems like too much for one episode.
Well, I'm sure there'll be multiple parts to that one, and we're working with James and I were brainstorming an idea to do a haunted cars episode. We'll have that coming at some point
Perfect.
In the near future.
Yeah.
And then later this month, there's either later this month, early next month, we're working out the fine details, but we're going to be doing a crossover with another podcast.
A crossover episode?
Yeah, they have to have some podcasts.
Okay.
Apparently, we're working on a crossover. There's no more details other than that.
All right. Well, those are some big announcements.
They are definitely some really cool big announcements.
And we'll be appearing wherever you want us locally.
Yeah. Did you not cancel your event? Are you promising me it's socially distanced?
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we got nothing else going on, so we can show up.
No, and you know, my birthday's coming up soon, the big Dirty 30, and I was supposed to be in New York talking at New York Comic Con, and that canceled. And I'm like, oh, there'll be something going on, nothing.
Well, you know, for here where we live in Northwest Indiana, we had a couple things we look forward to locally around here, being Hammond's Haunting in Hammond and Wickedly Whiting in downtown Whiting. And we did those last year and it was a great time, but you know, of course, COVID cancels things and they didn't escape the wrath of that. So if you, like I said, Bob, so what do you do for your, what's the birthday plans? Anything?
I don't know yet.
No,
we'll figure that out.
Streets of Whiting. Look out.
Well, we'll do we'll do maybe an investigation or something special.
There
something
you go.
Exciting. We'll figure that out. Moving on. If this is your first time ever listening to us on Bob After Dark in podcast land, make sure you jump over to the Apple Podcast website if you haven't done so already. This even goes for the people that are listening live and outside of the realm of Apple. Go leave a 5-star review for Bob After Dark. The more 5-star reviews we get, the more we end up in the algorithms to get us, you know, more recommended for, and the more exposure Count Panic and I have to the greater podcast world. And for every 5-star review we get, Count Panic will toast you
like that,
on the
just
live
like that.
Version. Or
just
I
like
guess
that.
There's not really a live version when you're listening to the podcast because it's timeless, except the news articles. I guess those aren't really timeless.
Well,
but
some of them live on forever, but currently, yeah, there's a lot of current subjects there.
Yes.
Hot topics.
Yep.
But still timely, still entertaining no matter when you listen to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We talk about Legends, Lore, and Supernatural. This is your premier paranormal podcast / radio show / Facebook live show / TV show.
That's on every platform imaginable.
It's literally on every platform imaginable.
Wow.
We're on everything these days.
So I could watch it on the big screen, right, too?
You can if you have the WJOB app on your smart TV.
Do
whatever. You can tune in and watch every episode on your big screen.
Wow.
You can watch us on Facebook Live if you're listening on the radio or if you're in podcast land.
That's so many options. I mean, there's no excuse not to know where to find us, right?
No,
we're there.
There is absolutely zero.
And we'll be coming to your house if you offer us the price.
If you have a Halloween party and you want Count Panic and me to crash your Halloween party?
It's extra for the cape, though. I gotta.
What?
It's, you know what the thing about this cape? I like it, of course. It's my gimmick here. I'm Bob After Dark, but
your
you know,
I thought you just wear that all the time.
You know, it gets stuck in the chair sometimes when I have to roll to the opposite end of the room. So sometimes if you see me struggling to make it,
Count Panic's choking in his office chair.
Because my cape got stuck to the office chair.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
I got to be careful with that. But
All right.
We're good now.
Okay. So part of the episode, we talk about weird, spooky news articles of the week. That could be anything from what we're going to be talking about this week, breaking news in the world of the paranormal that's making it to mainstream media, weird advances in science that are borderline science fiction, or anything else, cryptid encounter, alien encounter, fill in the blank. And this week I have two breaking news stories.
Breaking? Yeah, happening as of we speak here.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, so let's dive into the news story. Right. And this is where if I had like a nice moving graphic behind me or...
Yeah, you know, not, that's not in the budget.
We'd,
that's
have, a,
for
we'd
sure.
have a sound bit come on for the podcast.
There's got to be something in here somewhere. Well, so you're saying that there's breaking news, right?
Yes, but don't do that. That might not be royalty free.
No, <it's, laughs> trust me, we use all royalty free. Ready?
Yeah, what do we got?
There we go. That's good enough?
Yeah, that's great. 10 out of 10.
All right.
Okay, so the first news article I have isn't necessarily paranormal themed. But it's spooky enough. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
There will be no Halloween theme peeps this year.
I saw this story, yeah. So yes. What's the deal with this?
So apparently the owner of the peeps company is saying that there will be no Halloween peeps this year.
Due to, I'm guessing, the pandemic?
Yep, I guess they're running really low on stuff. And they want to, whatever stock they have and they're ready to go, they want to be ready by Easter.
So, okay, correct me if I'm wrong here. So, the pandemic hit, of course, mid-March. But the Easter peeps made it out in time because I remember seeing them in the stores. But due to everything shut down,
Halloween, they're on a shortage. I guess they can't get the ingredients to make peeps right now.
Well, that's a shame.
And or they don't have the manpower, whatever it is. So they usually pump peeps out. Holiday season.
Yeah, of course, that's the most popular.
So they've canceled straight through. They canceled Halloween, Christmas, and Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And so they're going to be focusing whatever raw materials they have to be ready for Easter 2021. That is literally the most non-Bob After Dark news story I'll ever cover, but it's still they have the spooky peeps that some spooky people peeps. Really look forward to giving out trick-or-treat candy.
Do you like peeps, Bob?
No.
No. So they're better than...
I know you do.
I do like peeps,
I know you. That's why I'm sharing the story with you.
Peeps are good. You know, Halloween candy is such a heated debate these days. The candy corns... Candy corns really causes quite the debate if you like candy corn or not. I know some people enjoy only parts of the candy corn and throw the rest out there. But the peeps, that's kind of sad to hear. I know a lot of people do love their peeps, despite you not liking them, and many others. There's a good majority that love those seasonal peeps. So sad news, but hey, they still are making Smarties, right? So that's something fun to pass out on Halloween. So all is not lost, Bob. All is not lost.
Yeah, I'd absolutely say so. Calendars, it could be much worse.
Could be much worse.
Could be.
It always could be much worse. Yep.
So there's no peeps this year. All right, so let's go to the actual breaking news. And this has been shared with me several times by several fans. And by the way, I think the live stream crashed at some point, but we're going to keep going.
I don't know about that.
That just popped up on the browser.
Okay, let me check it out.
Okay, moving forward. This has been shared with me. It started with Andy and then various other people. Ron Maxwell, dear friend, New York City, just chimed in with this too. Thousands of witnesses saw a UFO above New Jersey.
UFO above New Jersey?
Yesterday. And this is breaking news. There's been four videos that have come out. People are saying that they saw it over the UFO. They're saying the UFO was about 30 meters across and hovered around various parts of the city. People were seen on the freeways pulling their cars over to the side of the road, watching this UFO in the distance. The object has a glowing light for a center, similar to the military TR-3B. And strangely enough, it's not a disc, but a triangle, which is a pretty common trope amongst the UFO stuff. And the fact that the event took place is obvious to all the videos that are currently being uploaded as we speak.
That's something.
So you're thinking
right there.
Thousands and thousands of people saw this at once. There's people pulling off to the side of the freeway. Mass hysteria, right?
Yeah.
So I checked back in with Ron, and Ron is kind of an aficionado for different types of things like. Things like this, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to take a look at it and see what I could dig up." And Ron found out that they're saying it was the Goodyear blimp.
The Goodyear blimp was causing all this commotion. I didn't even know the Goodyear blimp really still flew around these days, but that was it, basically. That was a UFO.
That was a UFO?
Oh, so case closed, Bob.
Absolutely.
And for the folks on the live stream, I know it's kind of, it's still there, Bob. I know it was running slow for some people, but we are still on the stream, of course. We have the other outlets as well and the network and such. So hang with us here. Hang tight. Maybe get some peeps and eat them while the show continues on. But we are here for all your needs. But the Goodyear blimp, that's good to know. So it's not like it doesn't remain a mystery anymore. We know that it's chalk it up to that.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the big thing. And that's, by the way, I didn't ask you your hashtag panic steak. You kind of gave it to me.
About the
people get really angry if I don't if I forget to ask you the hashtag panic steak.
Well, yeah,
people get mad, so I'm just making sure.
No, for sure. Well, you know, the peeps once again devastated by the peeps, but we will continue on. We will soldier on throughout this Halloween season. And the blimp thing, I'm glad it came to a closure, because a lot of times it remains a mystery in our heads and we just keep on thinking about it. But case closed with this one. Goodyear blimp.
The Goodyear blimp.
Good. Although it's not a good year. It's a pretty bad year.
There's lots of folk who are saying that's a straight cover-up, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. So you're saying there's a – how is it a cover-up, though? They're just – they saw it in the sky and –
That wasn't a UFO. That was the Goodyear blimp. Wow. But my argument to those folk that are saying it's a cover-up, we know that there's UFOs now. We're pretty close to saying that there's different things going on. In fact, my next – news article is literally all alien based this week for the most part. Playing catch up as much as we can on everything else. There's been literally a pile of news stories. But we know it's there now. It's, you know, it's almost to the point now where it's like straight, like fact that there's alien life. You know, we're basically there. You know,
it's there, and yet people still, it came out the wrong year, I think. All this information we're getting from the government and whatnot. This was any other year, we would all be hyped up on this, but you know, it's kind of taking a back seat with everything going on. But maybe that's what the plan is. Maybe the aliens are seeing this as an opportunity to maybe, I don't know, maybe gain some ground here on Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't argue with thousands of people saying the same thing over and over again. There's lots of videos being uploaded about this. It's not, you know, it's not just a one-off thing. There's lots of people that are seeing this exact same occurrence, and there's lots of videos. We'll post some videos up. The next story is, again, this was shared 1,000 times over with me. I can't name all of you that have shared this article with me, but as of yesterday, so we see this UFO yesterday, and the other big news from yesterday is extraterrestrial life might have been found in our solar system. On Venus, of all places.
Venus? Why would it be on Venus, though?
I'm not sure. Huh. To be honest with you, I didn't think Venus was a solid shape.
No.
I thought Venus was just a collapsed dense of gas. But they're saying there might be there might be extraterrestrial life on Venus.
Now, how was this discovery made?
Well, apparently high in the toxic atmosphere of the planet Venus, astronomers on Earth have discovered signs of what might be life. If the discovery is confirmed by additional telescope observations and future space missions, it could turn the gaze of scientists towards one of the brightest objects in the night sky, Venus, named after the Roman goddess of beauty, roasted to temperatures of about hundreds of degrees and is cloaked by clouds that contain droplets of, you know, corrosive sulfuric acid. And people basically said there's no way you're living there because it's just so bad.
No, so okay, so there's, so we all this time we're looking on the wrong planet. We're looking at Mars.
Yeah,
we went to the moon. Maybe should really be looking at Venus.
And the people, that's what the next part of this article. By the way, this comes from the New York Times. I'm reading this, and it's people always thought that there'd be life on Mars, or at least some sort of form of life. That's where they were thinking, or the Jupiter moons, Europa and Euclides. They both say that they're potential of having life. But right here in Venus, apparently, they saw, they were able to see like a chemical, it's phosphine, in the thick Venus atmosphere. And after much analysis, scientists that have seen this phosphine kind of appear say that it's not a naturally occurring chemical on Venus. So how is it kind of getting there? They said it could be something with some geological and atmospheric way of causing this gas to be there, But they're really baffled because this is literally out of the blue, says one of the planetary scientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And everybody is baffled. And I am really blown away by this.
Well, I'll give you my take here, Bob. I think I'm gonna give you my take right now. No, what I always said, we're looking too closely at Mars, and that's good and all. It's all this Mars discovering is pretty neat, but we gotta look at the other planets out there. I mean, there's a lot of planets out there that need loving, and they're out there, and you never know what's gonna be on them. So maybe this is the opportunity now to kind of spread the wealth a little bit and discover what's on the other planets.
Venus.
Venus, who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
No, not me.
These next, I normally I don't share this many news articles, but there was a big abundance of things,
They picked a good week.
this week has been nuts because I could have had a whole episode being like, "Hey guys, there's basically confirmed life on Venus." I mean, we're still far away from saying it's 100% fact, but man, this is
Time to
huge,
send somebody to
and it's
Venus.
been like it's been a domino effect over the past several months. Even since I've been back in the studio, we've had conversations saying government saying they have a vehicle that's of extraterrestrial, origin. And we have another thing saying that there's, that the government confirmed that there's UFOs. And now they're saying that there's life on Venus. Thousands of people in New Jersey are seeing a UFO.
Why is it all, it's all happening this
That's
year?
all happening this year.
You think
It's
things are going to come to a head by the end of this year? You think, I mean, someone's going to come down and actually walk off the
I
spacecraft?
don't think it's happening this year.
No.
And and this is just going to be me being really kind of philosophical for a moment. If I was an alien species, the last place I would go is Earth.
Well, now they're saying this is time. I mean, there's a lot of chaos down here at the moment, and they might see, hopefully they're friendly, but they might see it as an opportunity to maybe make their presence known here.
This place kind of, us as a species, we're kind of awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'd probably be pretty rude to the aliens. I mean, I don't know what their manners are like, and again, I hope they're for our sake, they're pretty friendly. But I mean, if you encounter us for the first time, we here on Earth, I guess we might not be the most welcoming in most some cases, Yeah, well, hopefully they're nice. You think they're nice?
I hope so. I hope they're not like us. And I hope they're not
Interesting.
worse than us.
Well, they have laser beams though, so you gotta take that into consideration as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
Time will
so
tell.
time will definitely tell. My next two stories actually come from Whitney Roden.
All right.
Which, by the way, Whitney wrote in and said I pronounced her last name right.
That's, hey,
I was fair with her.
always a
She's
good
like,
thing
"Hey,
you
nobody
pronounce
ever
the last name.
pronounces it right." And I'm like, "I got it. Good for me."
How do you spell it though?
R-O-D.
All
I'm not
right,
going to
no,
spell it
I
so
won't
that's
question
it.
you there.
Okay, so this next news story comes from Newsbreak, and it's Florida trappers catch new species of monster-sized Suwannee alligator snapping turtles. And
Okay.
this thing, this picture of this thing, which I will, we're going to make it better about sharing these news articles on the page, I promise, in these photos. This thing looks like a cryptid. 10,000%. So a 100-pound Suwannee alligator snapping turtle, a new species that lives in the Suwannee River, was among three massive reptiles recently captured by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. And they're saying it was a male, it was a 100-pound male, a 64-pound male, and a, I lost my place here, a 100-pound male, a 64-pound male, and a 46-pound female were all found in the New River, and it's a 31-mile long 35 mile 31 mile long river along the Santa Fe River north of Gainesville. And they're saying that that particular river is a blackwater stream with low biological productivity, so finding a turtle in such a small stream is unusual. And they're saying they're collaborating with researchers in Florida and Georgia on the new species to document the distribution and relative abundance of the state's threatened species. They're saying these turtles' age is about 40 to 80 years old. And man, that is horrifying. These photos, like I said, the best way I could describe it is they're lifting up this giant, like, Godzilla monster thing. It looks like a straight cryptid. You know, you pick up a book on like swamp monsters or something, or you watch that show on TV, and that's exactly what these turtles look like. They're just, it's horrifying.
Now, are these turtles, can these turtles harm us?
They're snapping turtles that are 100 pounds. They're snapping turtle alligators.
Doesn't mean
alligators.
They have to snap, though.
They're turtle alligators, Cal
Panic. Yeah, well.
Turtle-alligators, if you will.
Not all snapping turtles are bad.
Turtles? I don't know. But yeah, straight cryptid. I'm going to call that a legitimate case in cryptozoology.
All right there. So these are actual living, breathing cryptids as we speak here, snapping turtles.
Absolutely.
Now, what size do they got to be a cryptid? Because snapping turtles are... They're even found around here where we're at. So,
well, the snapping turtle's not a cryptid. The alligator is not
okay,
a cryptid.
Okay, the alligator, okay.
But this turtle-a-gator, which is, you know, that's totally the scientific terminology for this, the turtle-a-gator. This thing is scary. Like, this thing could probably take you down, Compton.
Well, not much can take me down, but I'm guessing a snapping turtle might be able to do the job. I'll have to have you have a run interference there with a steel chair or something.
It's got a shell.
Well, not it. The whole body's not protected.
I'm like, who knows? I might stand up. I might back up the turtle.
I don't think the turtle needs any help, Bob. I think I'll be the one that needs help.
Yes. Welcome to Bob and Count Panic's new show. We're wrestling cryptids.
Yeah, no, that could be a good thing. I would watch that.
No, we're all about animal, you know, friendlativity here. That's definitely.
Well, yeah, we are. But if
we're not wrestling 80-pound turtle.
If we're attacked and provoked, then we got to stand up. It's like that kangaroo, that guy that fought the kangaroo.
Anthony?
No. Although I think he fought a kangaroo too, but that guy on the video that was attacking his dog and he had to step in and fight the kangaroo.
Yes,
which
I've
is
seen,
very noble,
I've seen
you know.
Video.
So sometimes you don't normally want to pick a fight with a kangaroo, but sometimes if they provoke you, you have to step in there and let it know its place.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. This last news storticle. Storticle.
Sure.
That's a new word. #storticle.
Yeah.
Let's make that trending, guys. #storticle. Grand Canyon cliff collapse reveals 313 million year old fossil footprints. Might be years.
Possibly, I would say that. I do have some old footprints laying around.
They said, according to Newsbreak, it's saying finding fossil footprints at the Grand Canyon is particularly unusual. The expansive stretch of rock is home to an array of formations containing preserved remains of the past. But a discovery made by a geological professor turned out to be a bigger deal than what he could have imagined. Apparently, this was... stumbled upon that, and it's an vertebrate fossil now that's ever been recorded with tracks, and it's been 313 million years old, and this thing is insanely cool because they don't know exactly what it is. They're saying it could be a form of a tetrapod, which is kind of like a dog or a cat, but this is something completely different, and it's the oldest one of its kind ever found.
That is something there, Bob. I don't know if a lot of times you see fossils on the ground, you think twice about it. But walking around and you stumble upon a fossil, but
I've never found one.
You never found a fossil, Bob?
Not in person, no.
They're out there somewhere, Bob. I know that for sure.
Have you ever found a fossil?
Not really, no. But sometimes you see things that look like a fossil. Is what I'm trying to say.
There's a little feedback.
There is a little feedback there. I'll get that, Bob.
Okay, sorry, guys. We're having just a pinch of technical difficulty tonight. We apologize. We're still good.
We're good.
We're good. Okay, so new fossil found. Thank you so much, Whitney and Ron and Andy, for sharing articles this week. And let's move on to the next bit of the show. This is where we share a little bit of a ghost story written in by one of our fans. And this particular fan says, I worked at an IMAX theater when I was in college, which is kind of the reason why I picked this story out of. This one stuck out to me a lot because I once upon a time also worked at an IMAX theater in my college days. One night I was the closing usher, got all the folks seated for the last showing, and started cleaning. Cleaned and closed the concession stand, bathrooms, etc. When the movie was over, I cleaned the theater and turned out the lights. Went to the cast office, hung out with the closing manager while he finished counting down the registers and filed away the nightly reports. We were the last ones there. As we were leaving the office and about to set the alarm, we heard a very loud thud from the upstairs lobby concession area. We went to check it out, searched concession stand, lobby, bathroom, and even the side stairs that led to the projection booth. Lastly, we checked the projection booth itself. Nothing out of place. The last place we checked was the theater itself. There were two entrances. I went in one, and he went in the other. Turned the lights on, walked down the stairs, stadium seating, and nothing was out of place. We each other got to the bottom of our respective stairs and met in the middle row of the theater. We each said we saw nothing, and I happened to glance up at the projection booth and saw a clear outline of a human being looking down at us. My manager saw the terror on my face and looked up. He ran to the stairs, made his way to the projection booth, and I followed with much more slowly as I was terrified I was going to get murdered. When we got up to the door, the door was locked. He opened it, and no one was there. There was only one way in or out of that room. We turned tail and ran out of the office, and set the alarm and ran out to the exit. That's my encounter. And that was sent to us from John Gibson.
Now, have you ever experienced anything like that at a movie theater, Bob?
Okay, so, no. Our theater was, like, brand new, like, built from the ground up, and that was there, you know, it was built before I got there, and there's no reason for it to be haunted, per se, but I've had some weird experiences while I work there. I was the closing usher at one point in my career when I'd worked there. When you're the closing usher, you and the manager are the last two to leave the building, and the theater I worked at was massively huge. And when you're closing down theaters, you know, by yourself in the middle of the night, you know, your mind plays tricks on you when you're doing something like that. And I've had experiences in that theater where, like, I've seen, like, a chair that was folded down would fold up by itself. You know, I've heard noises, or when you're outside, you know, throwing out the garbage at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's definitely levels of things there that are definitely scary. But I had no legitimate reason for me to think anything paranormal was going on.
No.
But the scariest thing when I was working at the theater, I'll tell you 100%, is that it was horror movies. When you would clean up after a horror movie, it wasn't necessarily the movie itself that got you, but you'd be in the theater when the horror movie end credits are going on. And let me tell you, horror movie end credits are designed to be absolutely horrifying.
They make it spooky on purpose.
Yeah, except nobody sits around in a theater other than like a Marvel movie, right?
And that's, nothing happens after
that. Nothing happens after that unless you're watching, again, Marvel movie or the more modern stuff. But for the most part, none of these movies ever like jump out and are absolutely terrifying, right? But there was this one, and I can't remember what the movie was. It could have been Insidious. Not Insidious. At the end of the credits, there's this kid that, you know, that like plays this really shrieking violin music, and the end credits after the shrieking violin music, it's just this little kid going 1, 2, 3.
So, man, you heard that?
I heard that, and the first time I heard it, it scared me so bad, I ran out of the theater. I'm by myself, and I called my manager. I'm like, got a problem. And that stuff scared me so bad when I used to work there. So I get where John's story comes from.
Well, that's the thing. Your mind plays tricks on you when you're alone sometimes too there, Bob.
Right, exactly. So what's your hashtag panics take on John Gibson's story?
Well, that's very eerie. Of course, a lot of theaters possibly have a lot of history to them. You worked, of course, in one of the more modern theaters.
Yeah, but so I don't know how old John's theater was. It was an IMAX, so I'm assuming it was definitely a...
yeah, those came around, what, in the 40s or something like that, the IMAX?
Yeah. But, the 40s? What?
One of those years, a long time ago. But, you know, the older theaters, you know, we even got a couple here around the region that have a lot of history to them. And some people say they feel some eerie things. But that's more to be expected because those theaters were built, well, long, long time ago. So they're more prone to having some activity to them. So those are the ones you probably got to watch out for, Bob.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Do you want to be like John and share your own paranormal experience, whether it be a ghostly encounter like John seeing the figure in the booth, or perhaps you had a weird experience with sleep paralysis, saw a cryptid, maybe even encountered some sort of alien or UFO? I want to hear your stories, and you are in a safe place sharing them with me. Reach out, Bob at BobAfterDark.com. reach out to us on Facebook. You slide into those DMs, Bob After Dark, or Instagram at Bob After Dark. Share your stories and experiences, and I will share them live on the show. However, if you choose to remain anonymous but still want to hear the story goes, I will refer to you as anonymous listener. And I'm completely okay with that. And I could give you my analysis of what I think happened. In John's case, it might have very well been something there. But I've also worked in the movie theater business, and it can get creepy when you're by yourself. It's very well, I don't know the story behind John's theater. I don't know if there's a reason for somebody to be there, but you know, when you look into darkness, you can sometimes you matrix shapes out of it. So it's, what I mean by matrix is you look at something and you create an image out of it. You know, when you look up at the sky at clouds and you form shapes from clouds, you're matrixing those clouds. So it's very possible that that loud thud and they're scared and they, you know, you're making it out. However, in this case, both John and his manager both saw this figure in the window. So are both people matrixing the same exact image at the same exact time?
Could be. Well, the last time I ran out of a theater, Bob, is when I saw Sonic the Hedgehog. I had to get out of there. It was so bad.
You didn't like it?
Nah, I didn't care for it.
I didn't see it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's really the last. I think it might have been the last movie I saw in the theaters before everything.
Gotta go fast.
Yeah.
James chimes in and says, not always the building, could be the grounds that's built on, and I completely agree. It's
right?
Very possible.
Yeah.
I can tell you, in our case, there was nothing there for my theater. So there's never a reason for the portage. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, maybe a long time ago.
Maybe it's possible.
Burial ground, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
But in John's case, I don't know. And I'd like to get a follow-up from John to see a little bit more about the background. But I'd like to hear your guys' encounters, just like I wanted to hear John's this evening. Also, if you have a news article that you would like to share with us, send in those articles. You can email again, bob@bobafterdark.com. You can slide into the DMs on Facebook and or Instagram at Bob After Dark, or the Facebook page, Bob After Dark.
There you have it.
There
that was simple. Write that down.
All right, folks, for our live listeners, stick around for just a few moments. And for the podcast fans at home, stick around, because I have some words from a paranormal podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back.
Beautiful.
Hi, Count.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Doing good. What did you do during break?
I ran home, made a sandwich.
Oh. Didn't you do that the last? No, you had a banana the last.
Had a banana.
Time.
It was a longer break this time around, so I actually had time to make a sandwich there. So
yeah.
Yeah. Bologna.
Would you like to know what I did?
What did you do?
I sculpted a nice sculpture.
Oh, where is it?
It melted.
Oh, wow.
I made a.
It was such a long break, I guess.
Yes, I made a. I made a small dolphins jumping over a fountain.
That's creative, Bob.
That's very. Thank you. I appreciate it. But it melted very fast.
Oh, yeah. You know, and
that's what I get for trying to make an ice sculpture in 70-degree weather.
Yeah, that does tend to happen. Maybe a few more months, I'll be able to stay there, Bob.
Excellent. Hey, Count, I got a question for you.
What's the question?
Have you ever been to London?
London? No. No, I have not been to London, unless you count Epcot. Don't they have all the countries over there? And I've been to London there, but I've never been to the actual London before. Have you, Bob?
I have not. London is top five vacation spots for me. I've always wanted to go. I've never been. I've had a weird, not weird, I guess you'd say, like a fascination with London. You know, you got the punk culture, the punk rock culture going on there. You know, Sherlock Holmes was written there.
Yeah.
Favorite stuff, you know, favorite detective there. And I, you know, there's just a certain cultural thing about England that I've always been fascinated about. And I've never been.
Yeah, no, they have the werewolf problem over there, I think.
an American werewolf problem.
Yeah, that's always an issue there. But no, London, yeah, it seems like a great place to visit. Are we going to London today, Bob?
I technically.
Oh, you're going to take us there.
We're gonna go there.
Through storytelling.
Yes. So this week on Bob After Dark, we're going to be diving into the lore of the week, which is the part of the show where we talk about something in the world of paranormal, cryptozoology, or something weird. This is the lore of the week.
All right.
And the lore of the week is, and this is my question I propose, is the Tower of London haunted?
The Tower itself of London, is it haunted there? Well, is it, Bob?
Well, we're about to find out.
Okay.
Way back in 1066, an English leader known as William the Conqueror pretty much conquered London and the surrounding areas.
Hence the name. Okay.
And once William the Conqueror was done kind of taking over the area, William the Conqueror built a very tall tower. And the idea was that people would look at that tower and be afraid. And it was kind of a focal point. It was a very strong structure that was pretty much centralized, and it was, you know, sat by some waterways. It was a strategic point, and it was kind of a good centralized point to kind of get what they needed to get. It was a very important thing. These days, it's more of a tourist attraction, but we'll get to that, because way back in 1066, it was very, 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 very important. The Tower of London has played a very prominent role in English history. It was pretty much taken over and battled between a lot of times, and controlling the tower is basically the focal point of trying to control the entire country. The tower has actually been several different things over its era other than a fortress. The tower has also been known as a treasury, a exotic zoo, a royal mint, a public record office, and probably the most famous of all was, this is where the crown jewels are, and this is where the crown jewels of, you know, royal leaders passed. And they also, I actually talked to Pat from Ghostly, because he actually took a tour of there at one point. Pat was saying not only do they have, like, the England's like crown, you know, the royal crown jewels, but they also have India's crown jewels there, which are, by the way, separate. They're not the same thing, and I didn't know that.
Why are they in London?
It's where the king and queen.
Oh, I know they. But
they would wear it when they.
Yeah, I know. I know that, but I didn't know that both sets of jewels were stored there.
Yeah. And from the early 14th century, during the reign of Charles II, a procession would have been led from the tower from Winchester Abbey on the coronation on the monarch. In absence of the monarch, the Constantinople of the tower was in charge of the new castle. This was a very powerful and trusted position in the medieval period. In late 15th century, the castle was the prison of the princes of the tower under the Tudors, and the tower became used less as a royal residence, and despite efforts, it became more of a royal prison. Ah. Over time, you have to understand, back then, heresy was taken extremely seriously, and if you weren't if you had questioned anything over the Church of England, if you were a royal and you refused to marry another royal or whatever the situation was, there was no argument or trying to persuade you. You're getting tossed into the prison. You're
getting tossed into the tower. Not like today, that's happened right now currently with the royals, right?
Yeah, no, it's
they would be in prison right now.
Oh, you'd be in prison. Yeah. And they didn't discriminate, man, woman, and child. It was definitely a thing, and, you know, the peak period of the castle's use as a prison was mostly during the 16th and 17th centuries, when many figures who had fallen into disgrace, such as Elizabeth I before she became queen, Sir Walter Raleigh, and Elizabeth Throckmorton were all held there, Mary Queen of Scots, if you will. They were all basically held within this this
Tower of London.
Yes. Yeah. Someone in the chat, I see Aaron chimes in and says, can you say happy birthday to Mom Terry? Mom, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Terry.
Yeah. And the use
I don't know if she's from London or not, though.
I don't think so. No. This use has been led to the phrase sent to the tower. This use has led to the term sent to the tower, and despite its enduring reputation of a place of torture and death, popularized by the 16th century religious propagandist and 19th century writers. Only 7 people were actually executed at the tower before the world wars of the 20th century. Executions were more commonly held at the notorious Tower Hill to the north of the castle, with 112 occurring there over a 400-year period. In the later half of the 19th century, institutions such as the Royal Mint moved over to the castle to other locations, leaving many buildings empty. Anthony Selvin and John Taylor took the opportunity to restore the tower of what was felt to be the medieval appearance, clearing out many vacant post-medieval structures. Basically, these folk went in and they wanted to redo it because the Royal Mint went there. They moved out. People moved in for records. They kind of moved out. And these days, folk went in and tried to restore it back to its kind of medieval provenance. And that's what they did. And in the First and Second World Wars, the tower was again used as a prison and witnessed the execution of 12 men for espionage.
Oh, boy.
And after the Second World War, damage caused by the Blitz was repaired and the castle was reopened to the public. Today, the Tower of London is one of the country's most popular tourist attractions, and you can go there now. Well, I don't know how it is during COVID. I did read through one of the London like travel blogs that it is open to the public, but very like limited on what you can do. And from what I've talked to Pat, and there was another fan, John, he chimed in. He told me earlier, he said the Tower of London has a lot of stairs. So if you're planning on going to the Tower.
No elevator in Tower of London?
No.
No?
No.
I think by now they would get on board with the elevator. So be prepared to walk upstairs, I guess.
You know, throughout its history, the tower was used to imprison a wide range of prisoners, like I said. And from deposed monarchs to more common criminals, prisoners included Lady Jane Grey, who was the queen for about a week in the 16th century and was deposed by Mary I. Also imprisoned there were 2 princes, which we're getting to the paranormal stuff here shortly, Edward and Richard, ages 12 and 9, who were the sons of Edward IV, who died in 1483. They appear never have left the Tower of Live, never left the Tower of Live, and some thought they were killed by Richard III, their uncle, who took the throne himself. 2 of Henry VIII's wives, Anne and Catherine, were both imprisoned and later executed. Henry VIII, who turned England into a Protestant country, also had a number of clergymen committed to the tower and later killed, including his former counselor, Thomas More. Another notable prisoner who was actually spent there, I don't know if you're familiar with the name, but Guy Fawkes.
Ah, yes. V for Vendetta, right?
Yeah, not V. V was a different character, but they wore the Guy Fawkes
mask.
Yeah,
what made...
Guy was...
Remember,
the 5th of November. Yeah. Kind of a political martyr, more or less. We're not going to get into much of Guy's history because that's not for this show. But Guy was a very prominent figure who was imprisoned in the... in there, and in 1605 attempted to blow the House of Lords and the monarch by detonating gunpowder in the cellars below. He was imprisoned in the tower and was tortured. Now, if you weren't killed at the Tower of London and you were imprisoned, chances are you were going to be tortured while in the Tower of London. There is a quote from one such prisoner. His name's John Gerard. I got this directly from the Tower of London website. They found a quote from him when he was in the tower. He escaped and shared his experiences. And John says, and I quote, "Then they put my wrist into iron gauntlets and ordered me to climb two or three wicker steps. My arms were then lifted and an iron bar was passed through the rings of one gauntlet, then through the staple of the rings in the second gauntlet. This done, they fastened the bar with a pin to prevent it from slipping, and then removing the wicker steps, they left me hanging by my hands, fastened above my head." And the torture, and that's just one story. The torture in this place was 1,000% legitimately scary stuff.
Oh, for sure. Sounds horrendous there, Bob.
Yeah. One of the last known, the Tower of London hasn't been used in a prison in a very long time, and they did have some prisoners up through maybe like the early 50s, but nobody really of note. The last real person that was there of like note and that was like a big kind of a deal for him to be there was actually Rudolf Hess, which was one of Hitler's followers and Hitler's deputy. After World War II, Rudolf actually escaped to Scotland, where he was then caught and then imprisoned in the London Tower.
Oh. So if you go to London Tower now, of course, there's a lot of staircases, of course.
Lots of staircases.
Are any of these old prison chambers still there, or is it still intact? If you go to the Tower of London?
Yeah, there's lots of, you know, the Tower of, you got to think the Tower of London isn't just one tower. No. It's not, you think of like a tower. It's not like a clock tower or something. There's a bunch of smaller structures around it, and there's like a courtyard around it.
I don't know if they remodeled or not, though.
They remodeled because they remodeled it back to the idea of it looking like its medieval predecessor. This isn't necessarily paranormal. We're getting to the ghost stories here in just a moment, but I wanted to share a quick thing, and I think Andy chimed in and talked about this already. It said a group of at least, and this is talking about the ravens. There's a group of at least six captive ravens that are residents of the Tower of London. Their presence is traditionally believed to protect the crown and the tower. A superstition holds that if the Tower of London ravens are lost or fly away, the crown will fail and Britain with it. Some historians, including the Tower's official historian, believe the Tower's raven mythology is likely to be a Victorian flight of fantasy. The earliest known references to the ravens at the Tower of London, dates back to 1883. And there's a story of one of the earliest kind of folk that got drove out of London was actually beheaded and was buried actually at the tower's base looking out towards the city, and that was supposed to be a symbol of good luck, and they say that head actually attracts the ravens. There's about, I could probably do an episode of Bob After Dark just based on the ravens at the Tower of London. These days the ravens are actually physically kept there, as they just hang out there. And fun fact, at the Tower of London, where these ravens are kept, is also the Tower of London's like astronomer who has a telescope on premises and has said time and time again, please get rid of the ravens because their droppings are getting on my telescope and ruining my findings.
Wow.
Just I had to share that. It's a funny little
That'll do it right there. Yeah, I got to clean that up there. That's a job within itself, though, Bob.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some ghost stories at the Tower of London. In London itself, every castle or every sort of structure that is there is said to be haunted.
No, Bob.
I would say every castle in London has a ghost story.
I guess they're old, right?
Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of history to
bad
London.
Things
yes,
happen, yeah.
And this is a very every story I have is based on some of these figures that are there. For example, we were talking about the two princes. Earlier, the shadowy figures of two lost boys holding hands are a relatively common sight in the White Tower, as they have drift between rooms and melt into walls. Many other tales of the London ghost involve Anne Boleyn. Anne was, of course, imprisoned in the tower and beheaded in 1536. The ghost of Anne has been spotted in many different parts of the Tower of London, both roaming the inside of the buildings and the outside upon the Tower Green. It's said that her ghost is headless. Mm. So headless ghost.
Okay, which is, I mean, ghosts in general could be pretty creepy, but a headless ghost, that's just the next level right there.
The headless torso paces through the tower at night and is frequently spotted in the Chapel of St. Peter, where she is said to be buried following her execution. In 1846, it was recorded that a soldier guarding the tower saw the terrifying headless figure of Anne, panicked, and tried to stab it with his bayonet, and the dagger went right through her ghostly figure. The soldier fainted from fright and was court-martialed for being asleep on duty.
That will do it right there.
However, since that, there have been many guards who have come forward who have said they've seen the headless ghost of who they believe is Anne walking through the halls of the London Tower.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell who's who when the ghost appears, but the ghost is headless and there's a story behind it, then it's got to be that, right?
There's been many people that were beheaded.
Well, I
you
guess.
Know.
Well, then that's a problem. Who's who?
Right.
Yeah.
Inside the chapel on premises, they say they saw a procession of lords, ladies, and knights in armor. And at the center of the festivity was a small, delicately dressed woman, and the later being identified as Anne. So there was a ghostly procession, and they say they saw a figure of Anne maybe with her head. And at one point, there was a guard who saw, actually was looking through the window and saw this procession happening and was pretty much staring at the scene. After a few minutes, the lights in the chapel faded because the guard saw the lights, went and peered in through the window and saw this procession of all these ghostly figures, kind of like the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney, face first, and saw it. As the lights faded and the guard's eyes kept kind of coming back into focus, the lights went out, and so did the ghostly figure. The guard was staring into an empty old church.
Spooked, Bob.
Did I give you goosebumps there?
That was kind of spooky there, yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, because it's a ghost story.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a woman in white, right?
Of course. Why is this? Why is there always a woman in white?
Somewhere perked up and said there's a woman in white story, and Pat's sitting somewhere being like, let me disprove this.
So what's the London version of the woman in white there?
Every
castle has
every,
a woman in white?
Nearly every castle, like, ghost story in London has a woman in white or a woman in black.
Well, if it's the same woman that just walks around between the castles, I mean.
Wardrobe change between castles?
Castle hop, yeah.
I would say the reason why, okay, so you can argue about the woman in white stories here, but I might have an explanation for the woman in white stories in London.
All right.
That was the garments, you know, you didn't see a whole lot of colors being worn back then, you know. So I would say that they were probably, you know, if they were fair maidens or purity, they were probably buried in some sort of white garment. The black might have represented some sort of religious leader or nun or something.
So even after Labor Day, she still wears the white.
I don't think ghosts follow the Labor Day rules.
There's no protocol on that? Because it's very frowned upon to wear the whites after Labor Day here, so
they don't
get the memo. Maybe in London it's different.
I don't think ghosts follow the
holidays.
Fashion laws.
Yeah, I guess so.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you like to hear my favorite ghost story from the Tower of London?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so remember how I was saying that the Tower of London was several different things? It was the Mint, it was, you know, where they store the crown jewels and where they have different, you know, it was a prison, now it's a tourist thing. One of the cooler, I shouldn't say cooler, but one of the more interesting things that the Tower of London was an exotic animal captivity. So they kept wild and exotic animals, things like peacocks and bears and horses. Well, just like how Ghostly did an episode about ghost pets not that long ago, there is sightings of ghostly animals at the Tower of London.
Ghostly animals.
Yes. Some people have also described the phantom shapes of horses, which gallop along the cobbles at night, and their eyes are a terrifying, terrifying blazing red. However, probably the strangest animal that has been seen is the... Oh, we got a caller.
Yeah, we got a caller here. We got Jack on the line.
It's only 10 o'clock.
He's here.
It's only 10 o'clock.
I can tell him to call back if you want.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Everybody, it's Jack.
Hey guys, how are you?
Jack, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, I wanted to put my two cents for the woman in white thing.
Of course. Hold on. Does anybody have 6 hours? Jack's about to have a dissertation about the woman in white ghost sightings.
Let's hear it.
I'm giving, by the way, a pick on Jack in complete jest. He understands this. Jack, I'm actually really curious where your take is on this.
Yeah, so the woman in white, there's a theory that it has to do with the spectrum, the color spectrum that ghosts are able to manifest. So, you know, since ghosts usually have weak energy, you know, they're only able to show so much color. So a lot of times that's why they're, you know, translucent. and a lot of times that's why they appear in white. Like for men, for example, there's, you know, the man in gray, and, you know, he's seen everywhere throughout the United States, throughout the world. And there's also, you know, the man in black, a ghostly figure.
Johnny Cash?
Figure. Yeah, Johnny Cash everywhere.
The man in black's walking around. Okay. Continue on, Jack.
And there's also another theory, too, is that these beings are archetypes, and they take on the energy of the person that had died in that location. You know, Carl Jung, the psychologist, talked about archetypes and how archetypes are these primordial images that manifest in that world, but they take on these symbols that have already been embedded in the environment. And so that's the other theory of what these women in white are, that it's an archetype that has already been there, just taking on the form of something that's residual. So, yeah.
Do you have any take on the women in black stories in London? Because that's not a very common thing I've heard of, at least.
No, it's not. It's really interesting. I'm not sure what to make of it, but it's fascinating. And, you know, at the top of my head, I wish I remembered the location, but there is a woman in blue somewhere, a ghostly woman in blue. And I should look that up, but I found that really fascinating as well. You know, I don't know what it exactly means, but it's really interesting.
Jake, have you ever been to London?
No, I haven't, but that's our next trip, right? Right after
on the bus, the booze and booze. The Bruise and Booze bus tour over to the Cryptozoology Museum. I think we're going to have to go to London. We're going to have to go to London to see the Tower of London.
Can you take a bus there?
Yeah, we can take a bus there.
Jack, can I keep you on the phone for a minute, Jack?
Sure.
Okay, so I was about to finish up my last ghost story, and I'm really curious to hear what your take is about this, because this one baffles me. Okay, you ready for it? Okay, so we were talking that the Tower of London also was it was kind of a zoo, exotic animals, and we were talking about people that have seen these ghostly figures of horses and the noises that they make that sound like horse galloping. However, people have said that they have seen a ghostly bear. And this bear has actually caused somebody to have a full-blown meltdown. And once again, like we were talking about when the soldier tried stabbing the headless ghost with his bayonet, the soldier tried stabbing the ghost of the bear. And this bear, imagine this bear's like spectral form going underneath the door and coming up from the other side, outstretched its paws to reach out at the soldier. And I was blown away at this, because I have heard of like ghost dogs, ghost cats, ghostly horses. I've heard of, you know, headless horsemen stuff. I've never heard of a ghost bear.
Right.
What's your take on the ghost bear, Jack?
So it seems like it's not a bear at all, not even a ghostly bear. Perhaps it's something that looks like a bear, but it's actually more... I don't mean to sound sensational, but more monstrous. When you told that story right now, it reminded me of on Skinwalker Ranch, they were shooting at a spectral werewolf-like creature. And some people said that it was just a werewolf until it was standing upright and running toward them. And they would shoot at it, and nothing would happen. So perhaps this isn't really a bear, but more of a supernatural creature.
Okay, hear me out. I have something I wanted to pitch to you, because I don't have things to pitch to people anymore. I could tell Kyle Packett he was just smiling.
I do, yeah. I agree.
Okay, so let's say these animals weren't very keen about being kept in the Tower of London, right? You know, some theories about what a ghost is people that are, you know, energy left behind that have unfinished business or were very unhappy in death. Can we maybe assume that bear and animals have the same exact, you know, rules as humans do when we die, they come back as a ghost, unfinished business, or angry about something. Is it possible that Bear died on premises and came back as an angry spirit?
That's totally possible. Yeah, I think, you know, that definitely could be something that happened. But my only thing would be that, you know, animals don't hold grudges the way that we do. They're not, you know, of course, they you know, can exude emotions and stuff, anger and sadness and joy, but they don't really have, you know, what humans have, you know jealousy and you know, wanting to be vengeful. But hey, you know what? That very well could be the case, Bob.
I mean, if I was kept in captivity and was very, very angry upon
bear.
My death,
yeah.
You know, maybe I'd come back. And in this case, this bear might have been very, very angry about being kept and might have went after this guard because it reminded him, her, whatever, of its life, and it attacked them. You know, I'll buy in your Skinwalker Ranch story. I'll buy it. I think that's a great theory. But, man, do I just want there to be a ghost bear?
That would be so interesting to study, because if, you know, if this special bear went under the door, you know, why can't human ghosts do that? And it kind of, like, you could kind of talk about the difference between, you know, humans and animals. And so if we're so different, then maybe in, you know, spirit form, we can have different abilities as well.
You know, Jack, before I let you go, I wanted to add, first off, I want you to talk about yourself, because some folk might not know who you are, and I want you to talk about your book. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for calling in tonight. But tell the folks at home who you are and what you do, and then I have one more point to bring up, but plug your stuff first.
Okay, my name is Jack Chavez. I'm a paranormal researcher in Chicago. I'm a writer.
Before he continues about his writing, Jack actually sits at a carved wooden desk by candlelight with a fountain pen and ink.
And all my pencils I whittle.
Anyway, go on. Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
I'm currently working on a book about these beings called crawlers. And what crawlers are is that they are these tall, emaciated-looking humanoids, very pale, and they're usually seen around fields or graveyards or near caves. And I've interviewed several witnesses to them, usually around the Midwest area for some reason, but also other areas, East Coast, West Coast. So, yeah, I'm writing a book on that, and I look forward to finishing it. Been working on it for a while.
Yeah, he actually is having somebody very special write the foreword in that book, from what I hear.
Do you want to say who?
Yeah, fun fact, I'm writing the foreword in that book.
You are you?
Yeah.
That's breaking news right now.
That is breaking news. I was waiting for Jack to call so he could break it, but I am going to be writing the foreword in Jack's book.
Wow, how about that?
And it's literally just going to be me talking about Jack being like, this book was handwritten by ink mixed with blood only during the hours of midnight and 3:30 in the morning.
Somebody tapping at his chamber door.
When there was a raven tapping upon Jack's door. I can't stress this enough, guys. There's a lot of, you know, I might be a leading expert in things paranormal, but there are people out there who are smarter than I am. I am not perfect. Jack is the example of somebody like that. So when Jack's book comes out, y'all need to pick that up. It takes Jack a long time to write on, like, lambskin paper that he buys, like, specifically from publisher, you know, the Sea Scrolls. So, joking aside, when this book comes out, I highly recommend you guys check it out. The last thing, Jack, I wanted to bring up about the story is, what's your take on the idea that these stories might actually be real? These guards have a lot to lose by coming forward with this. The story of the guard that, you know, had a breakdown about was seeing the headless ghost of Anne walking around, you know, and being court-martialed. That's a serious thing. And now there's other people stepping forward and saying they've also seen the headless ghost of Anne. And now this other, you know, guard who took a stab at the ghost bear. Do you think that adds validity to the story, being somebody that investigates and interviews people? Do you think that people that have a lot to lose by sharing that story has more validity than somebody that, you know, wouldn't, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I never want to jump to conclusions and say anything for certain, but definitely, you know, if they have something to lose, then, you know, you should pay close attention to them. You should really pay close attention to anybody.
Oh, absolutely. No, of course.
But yeah, definitely. These guys have a lot to lose. So coming forward with their story, you know, they clearly experienced something that was, you know, traumatic or sublime. And that's what's really fascinating about the ghosts of the Tower of London.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jack. I appreciate you.
Hey, Bob, Panic, you guys are fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, there you go.
All right, count.
And by the way, Jack, I know we just heard from Jack there, but Jack, if you want me to write the backword to your book, I'll be happy to do that as well.
And this concludes Jack's tale. I'm Count Panic. Thanks for reading.
Just throwing it out there. You know, the backword, there's a lot of forwards in books, but there's never a backword in the books.
Yeah,
so.
Matt, I was very honored
Jack,
when Jack,
let me know.
I was very honored when Jack proposed that I'd be
That's
writing
nice.
The forward.
Yeah.
So I'll be writing the forward in Jack's
very good.
Book. It's mostly going to be me just talking about myself.
Bob After Dark plug.
I'm just going to be plugging Bob After Dark.
Does Jack have to read it before he puts it in the book, or does he get a proofread?
I'm assuming it has to, because it's going. I don't know if Jack got picked up from a publisher. I'll find out.
Just say, Jack, don't read it. Just put it in.
Just listen. Tell your publisher, don't read this. No. I don't want a proofread. Just go through it. I'm pulling the Steve Michaels way of guerrilla marketing.
Yep.
Okay, you heard all these stories. We have another caller.
We do.
I'll just take them live.
Well, I know who it is. It's John.
John, it is 10:30 at night.
How spooky is that? John is calling after Jack.
Wow. Why are you calling at 10:30 at night, John? You never call this late. Are you okay?
That's what I said. How spooky is that? That Jack called before John.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Well, Jack's a hard guy to follow. I mean, I didn't write a book. I'm not important.
You're important to me, John. John, if there is a tradition on Bob After Dark, and that is if nobody else calls into the show, John will always call into the show. I can expect John to call in. So you are special.
There you go. Hey, it sounds like that London Tower was just built specifically for torture and execution.
It was initially a, you know, I wouldn't say a war camp, but it was kind of a strategical point, and then it turned into kind of a war prison, then a, you know, a political prison, then it turned into a, you know, an armory, and then there's different things.
So the ghostly sightings, was that seen by tourists, or that was there any?
I have not found any reports of tourists seeing anything. But I did most of my research. A lot of my ghost stories I found through several really good sources. One of which was the Exploring Castles tour guide. It's your handheld tour guide through castles in England, and they have a whole bit about all the ghostly sightings in the Tower of London. And it's not all in one spot. It's, you know, the Tower of London, like I was telling Cowan a little bit ago, it's not just one tower. There's structures all around. They have a chapel on site. They have a little burial ground. There's a lot going on there that's not just one singular tower. And these ghostly sightings are spotted all over the place.
If you had the opportunity to go there, would you?
John, that's not even a question. Of course I would. outside of the paranormal stuff, which I like to travel to for paranormal stuff, I'm also fascinated by, you know, things of history. I like that stuff. I would absolutely love to see the Tower of London in person.
Talk to the Queen.
I don't think she would talk to me.
Oh, okay. Well, she knows. Tell who you are.
Just, excuse me, Your Majesty?
Yeah, Bob After Dark.
It's Bob from Bob After Dark. Maybe you heard of me?
She might be a fan. You don't know.
Do you know who I am?
Do you think they would let you do an investigation there? Or
Absolutely not.
That was a good question. Yeah, because I was wondering about that as well.
You have to understand that, there are certain things, for example, I would like to do a follow-up for this episode at some point in the future and do some, other places, because there are ghost stories and weird conspiracy stories about, Buckingham Palace. So I'd like to do a follow-up, but to my knowledge, I have never heard of, the royal family giving permission to do a paranormal investigation. That might be, and I don't know, so don't quote me, that might be like a strong thing against a religion to kind of say things like this. They also have a certain level of respect that they probably want to upkeep, and a ghost story might kind of throw that off. I don't know. I can't speak for the royal family because, unfortunately, I am not a member of the royal family. So, I mean, there's definitely something there.
Well, Bob, you're part of my family, so...
Thanks, John. I appreciate that.
Not really royal, though. That's the...
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John. Appreciate your call.
There you go. Well, that's interesting. But people are allowed, of course, maybe now currently, but people are allowed to go inside Tower of London.
You have to book the tour in advance. And okay. Then you totally can go and take a tour. Pat from Ghostly did a tour.
Well, what happens if you snuck away from the tour and did a little investigating yourself?
You might get accosted by the Royal Guard.
Really? Beheading, maybe.
I don't think you're going to get beheaded.
Oh, well.
But you'll probably be happening to call the embassy and being like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, you don't want to. There are certain places that I fully, you know, I'm like, go explore a little bit, right? You know, go see stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all about it. There are certain things, Ghoul Scouts and Ghost Hunting 101, that you should probably not, like, do. Mm. Okay, you following me so far?
I hear you.
One of which is getting yourself into a place of political power and going to wandering through. You probably shouldn't go sneak off in your White House tour that you're getting, like, the permission from your congressman to go do. You probably shouldn't go to your White House, the White House, and go separate to go do paranormal investigations. The White House, by the way, has tons of ghost stories.
Oh, man.
You know, Buckingham Palace. I don't think Buckingham Palace does public tours. I could be wrong. I will do some research and find out for you. But the Tower of London, you should probably stick to your tour guide. You have to also understand that this building was built a long time ago.
Of course. Yeah.
Now, there might be parts of that aren't safe for you to be wandering through, like just from a structural standpoint.
Well, that's true. Another question, too, to follow up on what you were previously talking about.
Sure.
The ghost bear. Now, how do you defeat a ghost bear?
Ghost bear trap?
Well, okay. All right. Well, because, you know, bears, chances are if you get in a fight with a bear, the bear is going to win, but a ghost bear.
Well, that's a good
should
question.
I be more afraid of a ghost bear than a regular bear? Can a ghost bear
that's a,
hurt me?
That's a good question. Okay, so when you deal with, like, sentient, like, almost sapient, like, human spirits, right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of, if you have a, you know, residual haunting or an intelligent haunting. And in this case with the bear, I'm going to say the bear is probably an intelligent haunting. Follow me so far?
I follow you.
I don't know the rules on ghosts.
Okay.
I mean, I it's all speculation, right? There's a lot of hypotheses. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a hypothesis right now about the ghost bear. And I might be the first person to come up
ghost
with this.
Bear.
I don't know, right?
Ghost bear.
If human being ghost is, you know, like, doing a, you know, participating in an intelligent haunting where they're very much aware that what they're doing and they're interacting and et cetera, right? So there's a certain level of understanding from the human, you know, spirit that what they're doing, if it's not a residual haunting. You follow me so far?
I hear you.
Intelligent haunting from animal spirit probably wouldn't have the same sort of interactions as a human spirit would. You got to think there's different interactions between child spirits and adult spirits, right? And an animal spirit's a whole nother thing. I've never really looked into, and I'm be completely honest with you, I've never really looked into, like, what an animal haunting consists of.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to people that believe, like, their cat still hangs around. I've had an experience. I, like, literally had an experience with a ghost cat before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, But they interact with you as if, you know, they usually interact with their owners or the, you know, the people that are still hanging around the house. You know what I mean? Like, they interact. But a wild animal, I don't know. My assumption is that the ghost bear is probably going to be a little bit more aggressive because they don't have the certain level of intelligence that I think a human has.
They have nothing to fear.
Yeah, exactly. Or they might be bitterly confused.
Yeah.
how do you defeat a ghost bear? I guess, I guess you would treat them like you would a
regular bear, right?
No, you don't climb a tree, you know, get away from a ghost bear. I'm assuming that you would kind of, I'm assuming you would do the same thing you would for, like, trying to, you know, get rid of a normal human spirit. You know, you sage something, you kind of give them a blessing. There's, you know, steps to an exorcism. I don't know what you would do in an animal situation. I'm assuming if you tried saging a ghost bear, they're probably going to get a little angry with you. But that's my assumption, yeah.
All right, well, I just know about, I was kind of confused about the ghost bears and how they act out there, because, you know, the bears can be terrifying, and ghost bears are really no different here. So good to know, Bob. Good to know.
Yes.
We got to make a movie about the ghost bear now.
The ghost bear of the London Tower.
I think it's an interesting concept. I mean, I don't think it's been done, and I know Hollywood has had many ideas, but I don't think that's really been one of them. So no. Something to look into.
All right.
The script out there.
Real quick. Yeah. So let's talk about what we think. Do we think that the Tower of London is haunted?
Sounds like it, based on all
these stories?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. If they're, you know, we talked about last week with the Lavone Mansion, right?
Yeah.
And we said that there's probably a reason why it's haunted. The Tower of London is no exception to that rule. There is a lot of horrifying, terrifying things that happened in the Tower of London, as we talked about. It was a political torture chamber. It was a war crime place. You know what I mean? There was a lot of bad stuff that happened there, and a lot of bad energies left over. And I mean, you have stories of all these different things that are kicking around, all these different entities. I'm going with, yeah, absolutely, it's haunted. And why? Because there's a lot of negative energy left over, especially, and what I think gives us off is the ghost bear incident. Mm-hmm. I honestly, truly believe that there's something to it. Because if this was an exotic animal captivity, then an exotic animal might have been a little grumpy being there. Know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's interesting to think about. And, you know, Jack had some good points there as well as, you know, ghost animals coming back. Well, they really don't have, you know, the vengeful feelings that some ghosts do when they come back. So it's interesting. But you mentioned the bear might be a little peeled there. So
I would say so.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Haunted or not?
Oh, yeah. It's well, all these stories. And so much history to that place as well. I feel like the older the building, the more activity there might be in there. And this is no different, especially after all the heinous things that happened there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
all right. What is your final words of the evening? Do you have... We got to come up with a term for this for you, Count. Your closing statement?
Yeah, well... We'll think of something catchy.
Your proverb panic?
Yeah.
Hashtag panic proverb?
Yeah. We'll think of something.
Okay, what do you got for
me? No, you know what? London does sound like an interesting place. I would definitely take that tour. I wouldn't sneak off like you recommended there, Bob. But, you know, at first I thought there was that big werewolf problem in London. But now ghost bears seem to be even more terrifying than werewolves. Now, ghost werewolves, that's where we start to get even more complicated. So stay safe if you go out there, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, folks, I just want to say thank you so much for experiencing another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time, folks.
Memoriam development.